Today I want to talk to you about our last message in this series, This Is Real Life. And I want to talk to you about the path of promotion, the path of promotion. For me, this is a little bit of a life message. And this week in your group, if you're involved in a group, you're really going to hear my heartbeat, my experience around this topic and of leading humbly. That's our theme for the week. And today, I hope you hear a little bit more of my heart. And so we're going to start in Acts 18, verse 1, and then we're going to rewind back into Acts 17. Because in Acts 18, 1, I wasn't intending on sharing this verse with you, but when I read it, it sparked something inside me, and I believe I have a word for our church this morning. Are you guys ready for a word this morning? Acts 18, 1 says, after these things, everybody say, after these things. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. I've noticed this phrase from time to time throughout Scripture as I've read the Bible many times through over the years. And I've noticed this phrase from time to time, after these things, say it again, after these things. It has served as a reminder to me personally that our spiritual heroes in the Bible had to get through these things in order to get to those things. Sometimes as a follower of Christ, we have to go through some things to get to the greater things that God has planned for us. You see, Paul's trip to Macedonia, which started out in, if you remember, Acts 16, and we see unfold in Acts 17. Paul's trip to Macedonia was a trip of obedience. You remember, he obeyed the vision. He seen the man waving him across for help, saying, Paul, we need your help. And the Bible says he immediately left and went. Paul's trip to Macedonia was a trip of obedience. And I talked to you over throughout the series that obedience will first lead you to an open heart. And Paul met Lydia. He met a women's prayer group, if you will, who helped open the doors for them in Macedonia. Obedience will first lead you to an open heart. An open heart will lead you to an open door. And an open door will lead you to opportunities. How many are you thankful for opportunities that God's given you? But I want to add one more this morning. Is that okay? I want to add one more O. So we're going to have a O-O. Everybody say uh-oh. Opportunities, however, always come with obstacles that stretch our faith. Paul's ministry, if you'll notice as you're reading the New Testament and the epistles, Paul's ministry was filled with displays of God's power and people coming to Christ. But we can't ignore the fact his ministry was also marked by resistance and riots and persecution and prison. Somebody say, uh-oh. You see, some of Paul's greatest preaching, some of his greatest messages were followed by his worst beatings. You see, Paul's greatest words, and sometimes we forget, but some of his greatest words were penned behind prison doors. You see, I think as followers of Christ, we have to be mature enough to know it's the hard stuff that keeps us humble and prepares us for leadership in the kingdom. I know that's not fun to say, but it's the truth. I remember Dr. Sam Huddleston, who was with us not too long ago to celebrate with us as we came here and became the lead pastors. I remember him telling a story about a question he used to ask his father, and it would go something like this. Dr. Sam would go to his dad, and he would say, Dad, why is life so hard? And his dad would turn to him and say, because it's your turn. Because it's your turn. You see, a lot of times we want to be great leaders, but we don't want to follow the Lord through anything too difficult. Many times we want to be great leaders, but we don't want to follow the Lord through anything that's going to cost us too much. And unfortunately, even more dangerous, we want to be leaders without having to submit our lives and be accountable to anyone. We want to do our own thing. And I talked to you about that. You know, I believe God's calling us as a church to pursue one thing, not do our own thing. You see, when we're all doing our own thing, energy's going here, energy's going there, energy's going there, energy's going there, energy's going there. And guess what? We're in the same place we were a year ago. But when we put our energy, when we put our prayer, when we put our focus towards one thing, and how many know that one thing is Jesus Christ? It's seeking Him. How many know He can do above and beyond all that we could ask or think? You see, leadership in the kingdom always starts with following. You may be saying, well, Pastor Dean, I've been following others for years and nothing's ever happened. And I would say to you, who have you been following? You see, early on in my ministry, and again, this is a life message, the values that I've given you over the last several weeks, I believe are going to fuel us. It's going to fuel real life into our future. And a lot of these, listen, I've been walking out for years, but I believe God wants us to get on the same page, hello, so we can go further, faster. Early on in ministry, I gave the best of my youth away, the best of my young adult years away, and it seemed that nothing happened. How many of you ever felt like that before? You see, all my young adult years, all my 20s, were spent at one church under one pastor, and things didn't turn out the way I thought it would. But here's the key. Even though what I wanted to happen didn't happen, God was developing me for something greater. And here's what I learned. Are you ready? A sign of someone leading humbly is the leader will always be looking out for the best interests of others around him. Philippians 2:3 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Verse 4, I love this verse. I said it a couple of weeks ago. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. That verse doesn't mean it always feels good. How many know that doesn't always feels good? Doesn't mean it always sounds good or that the best is attached to an experience that is always good. Jesus, and this is on page 78 in your This Is Real Life study guide, which there are only a few copies left out there. But Jesus taught the disciples that your position as a servant or follower positions you for promotion in the kingdom. Church, I want you to hear my heart today. We'll never become great leaders if we refuse to become great followers. Jesus never gave anyone a position until they replied to an invitation to become a follower. And I believe that Jesus is inviting followers who will follow him through some things to get to those things, to get to the dreams of our heart, to get to the purposes and the plans that God has for us. Not just individually, but corporately. He's extending invitations to followers who will follow him into the wilderness, even of testing. I felt like I was going to help someone out today, so this may be for you. And usually I'm preaching to myself, so here we go. Becoming a leader requires us first to embrace the process of being a follower. When Jesus called the disciples in Matthew 4:19, and a lot of this isn't on the screen because a lot of this was just downloaded to me yesterday and early this morning. And so I hope you don't mind, but you can scribble down some notes. When Jesus called the disciples to follow him, he said, I will make you into fishers of men. That word make is the word in the Greek poieo. And the word means to produce, construct, form, and fashion. To make ready. How many are you getting ready for something? To prepare, to produce, to bear fruit. I love this, to shoot forth. What I want you to see is the invitation to become a follower of Jesus is connected to a process that comes with a promise to prepare you and I to produce in us something greater than what we are currently experiencing right now. And many of us, listen to my heart, many of us fight the process. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. That's a promise. It's a promise to prepare you, to form you, to fashion you into a servant leader. It's a promise to produce in you a life that bears fruit and shoots forth. I love that phrase, shoots forth. How many know there's something inside of you that just wants to shoot forth? There's something inside of you that wants to explode. There's a vision. There's a dream. Whatever it may be, it's ready to go off inside of you. And I sense that the Holy Spirit is brooding over us as a body. And something's about to shoot forth from real life. Deuteronomy 8:2, again, this is just stuff that's not on the screen. I apologize. It says, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way. How have you been all the way before? He led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. And a lot of us detest the wilderness. We resist the wilderness. How many look forward to the wilderness? It's interesting. I know, none of us, right? It's interesting because if you read about Jesus' wilderness experience in the Gospels, you'll see, that the Holy Spirit led him there. And so many times, we are resisting where the Holy Spirit is leading us. And here's the key to the wilderness experience. Because I believe some of you feel like as though you are in the desert. But here is why you're in the wilderness experience. Are you ready? To humble you. And to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Verse 3, I love this. He says, this is why you're going to go through the wilderness. And in verse 3, he says, this is what happened when I did it. He says, so he humbled you, he allowed you to hunger, and he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. Listen to this. That he might make you know, there's that intimacy word again, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The question I want to ask you this morning is, do you believe his word over your life? You see, the word over your life is always developed in the wilderness. God's pathways, his pathway to promotion, God's pathways lead us through things which humble us, test us, and develop us to prove his word is true in us. And I believe that he is calling Real Life Church. At Real Life Church, he's calling for followers who will follow him through some things in order to get to better things. Somebody say, after these things. You see, what you're going through, you've got to know it's going to come to pass. This too shall pass. It's only for a season. You see, I really believe, especially in church, we have been conditioned to want promotion without pain. But the Bible says, after these things, Acts 18:1, after these things, what things? Let's look at Acts 17:26 to 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, talking about Paul's ministry there in Athens, And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Have you ever been made fun of? While others said, we'll hear you again on this matter. Verse 33, so Paul departed from among them. Verse 34, however, some men joined him and believed among them, Dionysius, the Areopagite, a woman named Damaris, and others with them. You have to understand that this is a humbling moment for Paul. Remember, as we've taught and we've went through this chapter, let's rewind a little bit. In Thessalonica, in verse 4, it says, some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas. So he was experiencing revival in verse 4. When he went to Berea, it says, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. And so Paul is experiencing amazing results earlier in the chapter. And then he gets to Athens. And remember, he's provoked. He's upset. He's thinking, man, I'm going to have the same results. And verse 34 says, some men joined him and believed. Doesn't say many. It says some. Regarding Paul's ministry in Athens, as I was studying this passage, many commentators conclude that his outreach in Athens overall must be considered a failure. Now, before you come to that conclusion, I'll just say, if anyone got saved, it's not a failure. So I found it difficult to reconcile why some commentaries mentioned it as failure. But this is what I did get out of it. Here's my point. If you're always comparing your present difficulties with the highlights of your past, you're going to get discouraged. Listen, Paul didn't fail, but most likely he allowed himself to get discouraged because he was comparing what happened in Athens to what happened in Thessalonica and what happened in Berea. How many know when you're going through Instagram or Facebook and you see, you know, couples and selfies, and they're all having a great time. How many know that's their highlight reel? And so many times, we're looking at somebody's highlight reel and comparing it to the argument we just got within with our wife. Right? We're dealing with screaming kids, and they're taking a picture of their family on a beach laughing and giggling. How many know we all have our moments? Let me get to just four quick points that I want to leave you with. And again, if you at all can get in a group or at least get the video, I want you to really see my heart in this subject. When you're leading humbly, God will always use humbling circumstances to release a greater grace in your life and leadership. Paul could have got discouraged and left the ministry. How do you know that would have been easy after his trip through Athens? But instead, if you read on, it says after these things, in verse 18, if you read on in chapter 18, you will see that he went to Corinth for 18 months, and it says many heard, believed, and were baptized. What I want to say is your breakthrough is in chapter 18. And you're still in chapter 17. Humility. Let me get a drink of water. I'm trying to listen to my wife. She's all, you need to drink some water. Humility releases grace in your life and leadership to do things beyond your own ability. Romans 12:6, I love this verse. This is in the New Living Translation. It says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. How many of you like to do things well? And how many know his grace is sufficient for us? His grace allows us to do things that we couldn't do in our own strength. His grace allows us to do things really, really well. His power in our lives, the Holy Spirit released in our lives. James 4:6 says, but he gives more grace. How many of you thankful for more grace? Therefore, he said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I want you to let that settle in your heart. God resists the proud. Some of you are familiar with football, but have you ever seen a running back give a linebacker a straight arm? Right? That's my picture of God resisting the proud. Right? He just sticks a straight. You just can't get any closer to him. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter, here's the key, let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. He will lift you up. Number two, when you're leading humbly, what other people deem as failure, God uses as the foundation of your future. Not everything we do is going to work. I hope you know that personally, I am not infallible. As a leader, I don't want to set you up for disappointment. But I am going to make mistakes every now and then. Why? Because I'm human. When you're leading humbly, what other people deem as failure, God uses as the foundation of your future. The key is to never stop working and believing for God's best in your life. You guys have heard my story a little bit, but when we moved here in 2003 and we planted a church, attempted to plant a church in Folsom, and we went 18 months. We gave it all we got, and I finally raised that white flag and said, if I keep doing this, I'm going to kill myself. And I remember laying that dream down. I remember just feeling as though I had totally failed. Anybody ever felt like a failure before? But what I didn't realize is there was another pastor just across town who was watching the things that I was doing during that 18 months. And he liked my website. He liked the different things that I was doing. For whatever reason, they weren't working for me. And so a couple years later, he invited me to come on staff. And he says, I want you to do exactly what failed there because I know it'll work here. And listen, that church had never had a website. We launched a website. That church was in decline. We seen that church go from 600 to 1,000 people. We seen the outreaches grow. We seen all these different things. Why? Because someone was watching my life and said, no, no, that's not a failure. That's a foundation for your future. And sometimes, listen, we need people in our lives, listen, that are not pointing out the failures, but they're pointing us to our future. We need to call out the gold in one another. How many know we're supposed to take the speck out of our own eye first, right? The log, as the scripture says, we got to take the log out of our own eye first. You know, I don't have to be a prophet to get up here and to point out what's wrong with people. Hello. A real prophet, someone who is really prophetic can call out the gold in somebody. See what God wants to do, not what you're currently going through or struggling through, but calling out the gold in you. Number three, when you're leading humbly, just because someone isn't listening doesn't mean someone else isn't hearing you. It says, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. How do you like being made fun of? Nobody does. I was a pretty short kid growing up, so I was chubby. And how many know chubby kids get made fun of? Skinny kids too, I guess. I wasn't skinny, I was fat. And I remember just being mocked and made fun of. And, you know, I was Dean the Jelly Bean, Dean the Dancing Machine. I was Dean anything that rhymed with Dean, I was. It doesn't feel good. And then when I got saved, I remember I was working at Western Farm Center, and it was the same thing. I was skinny by then, in my late teens or early 20s. I worked at this place called Western Farm Center in Santa Rosa, and I was just being a witness for the Lord. God had saved me when I was 17, and I was just living my life, and I would tell guys about the Lord who asked. They would say, "What's different about you?" Those types of things. And you know what? They started rhyming my name again. They started calling me Dirty Dean. They started calling me everything to insult me. But how many know there were some people that were listening? And I remember over time, over that 4 years, I remember Bobby coming to the church and getting saved. And I remember laying hands on Bobby, who Bobby had never grew up in church. I remember laying hands on Bobby right there on the church. He came for his first time, laid hands on him, and he got filled with the Holy Spirit. I remember Josh Brady, who used to come in late with a hangover, and we used to find him in the hay bales. I remember him getting saved, and then he became a youth pastor. I remember Larry coming to church for the first time, and Brian, who was a superstar athlete, all in Sonoma County there. I remember them coming. Why? Because someone's always listening to the message of your life. You see, when you're leading humbly, just because someone isn't listening doesn't mean someone else isn't hearing you. Someone's always listening. Someone's always watching your life. And then lastly, when you're leading humbly, there's always a departure before there is an arrival. Verse 33. So Paul departed from among them. How many glad you left? Paul had to leave Athens in order to arrive in Corinth. Now hear me, I'm not telling you to leave Real Life Church. But as your pastor, what I'm telling you as a church, I'm giving you a prophetic word this morning. What I'm telling you as a church, we can't afford to stay where we are. You see, we're going to have to depart from the place we've been, spiritually speaking, to get to the place God is leading us to go. And that's why these values that I've been talking about over the last several weeks are so important to our future. I'm not just packaging a nice little series to forget about. No. I'm giving us values that are going to fuel us to where God wants to bring us. We're going to live these values out as we step towards the vision that God is making me so clear. I remember, again, 99 days ago, I remember coming and people were like, "What's your vision?" And listen, when you come into a new place, your vision is this far. There are big trees right in front of you. There are challenges right in front of you. But I'm here to tell you that 99 days later, I am beginning to see clearly what God wants to do through this church. As I mentioned, today is my 99th day as your lead pastor of Real Life. And I know many of you, things haven't happened fast enough. But have you know 99 days really isn't a long time? It just isn't. But a lot has happened. And I just want to encourage you, what comes fast doesn't last. But what really lasts doesn't come fast. So we're going to internalize these values to fuel our future. And I want to remind you of them. Because again, this just isn't a series that we're going to just put on the shelf and forget about. No, we're going to really walk these things out. We have to. In order to experience what God has for us, we have to keep these values in front of us, else the vision will fall flat. The vision won't come to pass. We have to love God personally. We have to continue to challenge ourselves as believers, whether you've been saved 1 week or you've been saved 20 years. It doesn't matter. How many know you can always get closer to the Lord? And listen, you can have a 20-year-old person that's been going to church for 20 years. And you can have somebody over on this side that's only been saved a few months. And the maturity level, if you're not careful, it can be the same. And I'm just saying, we are going to have to continue to move from infancy to intimacy. From infancy to intimacy. Secondly, we have to learn empathy. We are going to commit to understanding and appreciating one another. Let me just say that again. We're going to commit to understanding and appreciating one another. And I'm going to be able to put myself in somebody else's shoes and understand the paths you're walking on. And listen, not judge you, but listen, come alongside of you. And then third, we're going to be able to live abundantly. We're going to share all that God has bestowed upon us with one another. How many know the mercy on your life, the grace on your life, the favor on your life, the compassion on your life? How many know I need some of that too? I need to learn from you. I told you about the small group I'm a part of, and Kathy's here this morning, but I love being with Kathy because Kathy has a compassion for people. She has a compassion for people. She loves to go and she loves to feed the homeless. And this week, we're getting the COTS team together and we're going to a place that I learned about this week. I told you I've been knocking on doors. We're going to Compassion Village. And we're not going to feed the homeless. We're going to see what a community of believers are doing to house the homeless. And so we're excited about what God is doing there. This week, George Beasley and I, we went to Angelique Ashby's office. And some of you have been asking, hey, what are we going to do about Harvest or the fun, what do you guys call it? The Family Fun Fair. That's cute. Family Fun Fair. We call it Harvest Festival, was that? So, but we went to Angelique Ashby and we just went and to meet her, to get to know her. She is the councilwoman over North Natomas. And I said, Angelique, listen, our church wants to be connected. We want to come alongside and we want to sow into our city. And she said, that's what I've been trying to get pastors to do, to come. Because she goes, I do community events. She's all, I can get up to 3,000 people at community events. She said, I just can't get pastors to come. And so I said, what can we do? What can we do ASAP? What can we do right now? And she said, you know what? We do our own family fun fair right over here at Creekside Community Park. She says we have over 2,000 people that come. She says it would be awesome on October 22nd. She said we don't do anything for teens. She said that whole part, she said half of it is all for the younger kids. She said we've always had it in our heart to do a teen zone. How do you know where I'm going with this? I said we'll do the teen zone. I said, we'll do the teen zone. We're going to partner. That's what the Family Fun Fair is. This. We're going to be outside the four walls, sowing into our community on October 22nd. We're going to start the first teen zone at the Creekside Community Fair. That's what we're doing. Then on October 31st, how many know one's not enough? We're partnering with Vita Church over there in Del Paso Heights at our Artisan Campus. And we're doing something called, it's the same type of thing, but I love this because, you know, how many know area, depending on what area, things change, right? We're calling it Light the Night. And so on October 31st, with Pastor Alex Vise and Liz over there at Vita Church, we're going to partner and we're going to do Light the Night from 6 to 9 o'clock there in the parking lot across the street from the Artisan. Why? Because we want to share what God's done in us. We want to share it with our community and beyond. Amen? I'm excited about that. I hope you're excited. And then lastly, we're going to lead humbly. We're going to allow God to promote us with His promise. We're going to allow God to promote us with His promise. In other words, I'm not doing it in my own strength. It's going to be the Holy Spirit opening doors to us. As he even did this week, is in our meetings with the city councilwoman. She opened that door. I just knocked. She opened that door and invited us in. Just a godly woman. And she said, I need pastors. I need churches to come alongside. And she said this. She said this. She said, my job, she says, I can't do what you do. She says, my job is to connect the community with the community. And she said, come on out and connect with people. She said, she also said this, do you guys know, and you guys might know this, I'm new here, so I don't, she said, Endercombe High School is the most diverse high school in the nation. In the nation. This zip code, one of the most diverse in all of the nation. I'm telling you, God is positioning us for promotion. Will you stand with me this morning? Will you grab each other's hands? And I just want us to pray. I want us to pray. I want us to pray that we just begin to, while you can stretch the aisles, but can we just lift our voices for what God wants to do? God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would fuel, that you would take these values, God, and that you would fuel the vision of Real Life Church. God, that you would take us to places that we could never get to on our own. God, that you'd begin to open hearts and open doors and lead us to opportunities, God, above and beyond, God, all that we've asked or thought of, God, over these last 11 years. I pray, God, that you would do above and beyond, God, all that this church has ever asked for, God. And God, that we would see a mighty harvest in the name of Jesus. We'd see a mighty harvest, Lord. Prodigals would come home. Family members, God, would come home. Friends would come home. Co-workers would come home. God, as we press into you, I pray that in the mighty name of Jesus, we would see a harvest, God. We would see a harvest, Lord. We would see the harvest that you're bringing in. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give God praise this morning?